Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're on the air and online now, and we would love to hear from you. That toll-free number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. We'd love to address your question or offer direction for the hard issues of real life here at Basic Gospel. Again, that full number is 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Wanted to share this wonderful email we received just recently. Someone signed up for our email subscription list from the New York area, the WMCA listening area. Uh-huh. He simply wrote this: thank you. You do a wonderful job with your broadcast. You choose your words carefully and fill our hearts with His grace. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work. Merry Christmas to you, your loved ones, and your staff. And that's from Eric. And Eric, thank you so much for writing to us. That just means the world to us receive encouraging words like this. And I love the fact that, he's saying that this broadcast fills his heart with the grace of God. That's what we're here for. That's what the gospel story is all about. It's a story of grace, God reaching down to us in Christ to take away our sins and to give us new life. When we're filled with grace, what that means is we're filled with life, His life, the life of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, Jesus Christ the Lord. When you receive the gospel, when you respond to the gospel, you receive Jesus. You receive His life, and He fills your heart with His life, His grace, His peace, His righteousness, His goodness. Boy, does it get any better than that? It just can't. And you know, we have such an issue with sin. You know, most of religion is all focused at getting sin out of the picture. Mm-hmm. But Christ has already taken care of that. He's dealt with the penalty of sin. He died in our place. There was this body that was prepared for Him, and He offered that body as the once-for-all sacrifice. He took away our sins, and as a result of that, we stand as forgiven people. There's the power of sin. We struggle with that every single day. We live in this world where sin is at the center. Sin wants to dominate. Sin wants to control. Sin wants to be in charge. That's the very nature of sin. And so it exerts influence. It exerts power. It appeals to this flesh of ours. It can do so in such a way that there's strong tugs to pull us away from Christ. But we're filled with Christ. We're filled with His grace. And as we abide in the living Christ, we see ourselves being freed from the power of sin. That's just one of those practical things of learning to say, no, enough's enough. You know, that old life I'm done with. I'm leaving it behind. I'm taking hold of this new life that I have in Christ. So we're sensing this freedom from the power of sin every day as we abide in Christ. And then at some point when we go to be with the Lord, or when He comes back and takes us to be where He is, we're going to be freed from the presence of sin. That's what grace is all about. God fills us with His life so that we're freed from the penalty of sin, we're being freed from the power of sin, and soon we'll be totally free from the presence of sin.
Yeah. Amen to that.
That's absolutely good news.
Yes, indeed. That is good news. That is basic gospel, and that's why we are here, to proclaim that good news every day on the airwaves. Plenty of open lines. We want you to come in and be a part of this edition. That's why we are live. That toll-free number, 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC, and all the lines are open right now, and we want to hear from you. 844-32-BASIC. Guys, a question from Barbara, who dropped us a line. Very quick, very short question. If Jesus is the only way, how were Old Testament people saved?
Good question.
Yes.
Jesus was the only way for them as well. And God gave all kinds of signposts in the Old Testament, pointing the people toward the Messiah. They lived in expectation that at any moment, in any generation, at any time, Messiah would show up. That's what the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, were filled with, prophecies about this coming Messiah. So when they participated in the sacrificial system, for example, that was a participation in the foreshadowing of the sacrifice that Jesus would offer. So if they were trusting those sacrifices, what they were trusting is what those sacrifices represented, that one day a Messiah would come and take away their sins permanently, forever. Wouldn't just cover like the blood of bulls and goats did, but actually take away those sins. When they participated in the Passover, again, that was a foreshadowing of the work of Jesus Christ. When they read the scroll from the scrolls, when the priest would read from the scrolls of Isaiah and all of those sort of things, they would read words about the coming Messiah. So they were saved looking forward to a day that Christ would come. They didn't know him by name. They just knew that Son of God, Son of Man would show up and he would do something special from the people, for the people, that he would actually save them. So everybody is saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And back then, it was a very limited understanding of who this Jesus was, but there was knowledge of this coming Messiah.
Yes, I love the way the writer of the Hebrews puts it in chapter 11. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And then at the end of this chapter, it says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Jesus was enough for all of history. All of the people who came before and looked forward by faith, all of us now who look back by faith and forward to the second coming, God had it covered the whole time.
Yes, indeed. And it's interesting that that chapter, Hebrews 11, he's looking at all the Old Testament saints.
Yes.
And not one time does he say, I commend you for living up to the Ten Commandments.
Never.
Or I commend you for carrying out the sacrificial system. It was always a commendation of their faith.
Faith.
What they believed about God. Somehow the message clicked, and they combined the message with faith. And now they stand as these giants of the faith from the Old Testament, commended for their faith. And we need to get a clue of that.
Yes.
We need to recognize what God is saying there, because so many of us want to hold up our good deeds and say, Lord, look at what I've done for you. We want to hold up the fact that we've carried out the law, or we've carried out, you know, faithful church attendance, or we've carried out faithful stewardship and tithing and all of those sort of things. We want to say, Lord, please commend me for all these great things that I've done. And even when times get rough, when we go through those rough patches in life, we hold those things up to God and we say, God, why are you doing this to me? Because I've been faithful to you. I attended church. I pray regularly. I continue to pray regularly. I give. I teach Sunday school. I do the things that I'm supposed to be doing as a Christian. And God says, it's not that I'm looking for. I'm looking for a heart of faith, someone who simply trusts me. And that's hard for us. We have trust issues. We think people are out to get us. So we have trust issues. But trust is going to be tied to love. And when we understand how much God loves us, then these hearts of ours can start trusting. And that's what God is looking for. And that's why he commends all of those Old Testament saints for their faith.
Yes.
Not faith as a standalone thing, but faith in God, in the revealed Word of God, Jesus Christ himself.
Absolutely. Well, Barbara, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question you'd like to pose by email, you can find the link at basicgospel.net. Right now, open lines, and we await your calls at 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-322-2742, 844-32-BASIC. Another question from Robin from Temecula, California. Where do Christians go when they die? What are they doing while waiting for the second coming?
Well, they go to be with the Lord. The body goes into a grave where it's cremated, but our souls, our spirits, go to be with the Lord. That's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul really struggled with that.
Yes.
He talked about that in Philippians. You know, he came up with this philosophy, for me to die is Christ, or to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yeah.
So he knew his death, that he would be in the very presence of the Lord, and that was gain for him. And he looked at, you know, whether he lived or whether he died, it was a win-win proposition. So where do we go? Where we go to be with the Lord. We're absent from the body, present with him. And I think that's key for us to understand. We think of a place, you know, I'm going to go to this place, you know, I'm going to go to a vacation paradise, and it's just going to be wonderful, and you know, I'll have beach front property, and you know, just everything I could imagine.
Yeah.
But we're going to be with a person. We're going to be with Jesus. He is God's gift to us. He is now in our presence through his Spirit. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what the story is all about. Christ coming to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us, so that one day we can go to be with him and to be with him forever. So where do we go? Absent from the body, present with the Lord.
All right. And Robin, hope you're listening, and hope that's been a help to you as well. Well, again, the lines are wide open at Basic Gospel. We are live so that you can participate and pose your question or your particular issue, and we'd love to discuss it with you, but we can't do it unless you call. So give us a call, 844-32-BASIC. Well, guys, you know, life goes on. I had a question from Bill, and he is very, very hurt over his wife's affair and would love to know how he should deal with that.
Well, there's all sorts of ways to deal with that. The flesh is going to tell you to deal with it one way, but you have to come to the point and says, "What's the mind of Christ in this situation? Lord, I want to submit myself to you. I want you to work in my heart in such a way that I can carry out your desires in this situation. One, is it normal to be hurt with a betrayal like that?
Sure.
Absolutely. You have married a person. You have become one with that person. And that's what the Bible says. The two of you have become one. And that oneness of relationship really represents something much bigger than the marriage. It represents Christ's love for his church and his union with the body of Christ. So marriage is a huge thing as far as God is concerned. And then there's separation. It's like you've just been ripped in two, your mate, through the rejection, through the betrayal, through the affair, takes a knife and just jabs it deep within the heart and twists and twists and twists. That's what it feels like. And out of that pain, you're not anxious to forgive, and you're certainly not anxious to be reconciled, and you're not anxious to trust again. Those are things that God is going to have to work on. And so the first issue is going to be an issue of forgiveness. Are you willing, as a child of God, to extend forgiveness to your mate? Say, how can I do that? It hurts too much. I mean, she just took my heart out and jumped all over it. How can I forgive her for that? The pain is too deep. And yet Christ starts to work on that heart and reminds you of the forgiveness that you have in him, and reminds you of what he accomplished for your mate, that his blood took away her sins just as it took away your sins. And your heart starts to soften, and then you're able to extend forgiveness. And then you're still a little leery of the reconciliation. Do I want to get back together? I mean, what if she does it again? But God starts to work on that and starts to rebuild the relationship. And so the thing to do in the situation is just submit yourself to the leading of Christ, mm-hmm. and be willing to live out what he is working in you.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised by what God is going to do in that situation. I guarantee you.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, hope you are listening and hope that's been a help to you as well. And I know it's a tough situation.
Well, let's go to New York and talk with Spence listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Spence.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, sir. I'm up here in the great state of New York. I'm from North Carolina. I'm on a trucker. I'm on a UPS holiday run. But anyway, I wanted to address the previous caller's issue, how were people in the Old Testament saved? And because it's a question I had at one point in my life, too. But if you a careful reading of the Old Testament will show you that there are many references to salvation. That word is used a lot in the Old Testament. And as I've read it and listened to it over the years, here's what I came to. It's the same explanation as you gave, the same answer, but I would say it like this. The way the people were saved in the Old Testament was based on one thing. Did they believe in and love God and try to live by the law? Okay, that's it. You had to believe in God, love Him, and do your best to live by the law. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus said, John the Baptist, his life was the culmination of the law and the prophets. After John, there was a new covenant, a new way. And in the New Testament, we are saved by believing in and loving Christ, who above Him is God the Father. But
well,
anyway,
we're actually, Spence, you know, I want to insert something there. You know, Paul says that we're saved by grace through faith. So in old and new, there's this God reaching down to us. So there's grace in action, and our hearts respond to that by faith. That's always been the plan of God from the very, very beginning, and we see the real fulfillment of that in Christ. So when we were reading Hebrews 11, for example, and God was saying, you know, I commend you for your faith, they had responded to the revelation of grace that God had provided to them in the Old Testament. So it's always been a by grace through faith type of thing. And I think that's important for us to understand. There's, you know, God has plan A and there's no plan B.
I got you. And I agree with you. And I agreed with your answer the first time. I just want to put it in different words.
Well, I'm glad you called in, and thank you. Are you new to our broadcast? Is this the first time you've heard our broadcast? And
I've listened to it a few days. It took me a while to zero in on
a Christian station.
A gospel station. I try to listen to them whenever I can.
Well, that's Spence. We're so grateful you found the program, and thank you for calling in and doing your UPS stuff, delivering the things that you do. You guys are amazing. But I would love to say thank you for calling in by sending you a gift to let you know a little bit about what God is doing through this outreach. Can I do that?
Okay.
Is our Christmas gift to you, Spence. You hang on, okay, my friend?
Okay, thank you.
Are you a Blue Devil fan or a Tar Heel fan?
I went to Chapel Hill, so okay. I had to say a Tar Heel fan.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. You hang on, Spence.
Yeah.
All right.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yeah, friends, we hope you received Bob Christopher's letter expressing appreciation to the many of you who stand with us in supporting this ministry so faithfully. As he mentioned, Basic Gospel reaches into homes and lives in all 50 U.S. states and 121 countries with the good news of Jesus Christ, only because of you who are vital parts of this Basic Gospel circle. But truly, the work is only beginning. And to end 2014, which has been an excellent year in so many ways, but to see the year come to a close in a positive manner, we would need to see an outpouring of gifts to support this work, roughly $213,500 by the 31st. As Bob mentioned, fully 25% of annual donations arrive in the month of December. And this December, we need your help to close the year on solid footing. So please help as much as you can with your most generous gift. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator right now at 844-41 basic. That's 844-41 basic. And we hope to hear from you today.
Yes, indeed. And I'll just give you a little financial update. We mentioned 213,000. You know, since we came up with that number or saw what that was, quite a number of people have given. And so they've cut that number, and it's down below 190,000 now.
Oh, my.
So thank you for your response, and let's keep the momentum going, and let's end this year strong.
Absolutely.
Well, right now, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Marshall. Listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Marshall.
Hey, good. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess I do believe that we're saved through, by faith, you know, by grace through faith. But I think one of the times we just stop there sometimes, and we forget that we still have to keep the commandments. Because in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So I think we sometimes say, well, we don't need to keep the commandments. But
well,
yes,
we have something,
and then there's the two greatest commandments.
Yeah. Well, Marshall, that was the point I was going to get to, is that, you know, in this new covenant, in grace, we're called to something higher. You know, the law said that we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and then Jesus redefined that, and he said, "You're to love others as I have loved you." So he's trying to connect us to the great love of God so that our hearts can respond first and foremost to God, and then we can express our faith in God in love one to another. So when Jesus, for example, fulfilled the law, he didn't do it by trying to obey the commandments. He fulfilled the law by walking in love. And when you walk in love, you're not thinking about keeping or not keeping the commandments. It's just a natural byproduct. If you're loving your wife as Christ loved the church, you're not committing adultery on her. If you're learning to speak the truth in love, you're not lying to others. So our new covenant life is really a life of faith in the indwelling Spirit. We're indwelt by the presence of God. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. And we work out what God is working in. And when we're working out what God is working in, we don't have to worry about it because we know what he's working in is good. It comes from him. So what's going to work out is going to be good as well. That's the miracle. That's the supernatural way of this new covenant life. Well, Marshall, we appreciate your call, and Merry Christmas, my friend. Let's quickly go to Idaho, and we'll talk to Lavana. Hi, Lavana. Well, Lavana is not there.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I can hear you there in the beginning. Well, I wanted to go back to the Old Testament. What happened to the Gentiles in the Old Testament? They did not have the Word of God.
Well, there were folks in the Old Testament like Rahab.
The majority of them did not have.
Well, that is correct. They didn't have access, but as you read the Old Testament, you see, for example, King Nebuchadnezzar certainly had a knowledge of God, and the fact that God had Babylon capture the people of Israel, that brought the knowledge of God, the one true God, to the Babylonians. And so there was knowledge of God that was there. There was knowledge of God available to anyone. As Paul talks about, heavens declare the very knowledge of God. His attributes are made visible through nature. So we know, and I think the Old Testament leads us to that conclusion, that the folks, those kingdoms, those empires that surrounded Israel, they had a knowledge of the one true God because of Israel. God used Israel to spread that knowledge out, and therefore they all stand accountable to God. Well, Lavana, thanks for your call. Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. And to each of you who emailed us or called in to be a part of the program, we appreciate the fact that you've done that, and that's why we are here live. Well, again, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Christmas Eve edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.